Hi, everyone. You're listening to Adina and Growing Up Indigo on the BBS radio station. Did you know, I just have to say this, that BBS was one of the first internet radios there was? I think they were one, two, something like that. And they were the first to bring us this, internet talk radio and indie music. I just think that's so cool. Anyway, before we go and start, and today and for the next few shows, I'm going to be talking about soulmates, who they are, what they are, how do you know, who knows. And the reason I'm doing this is, and I'm going to explain why, is because of several things that have happened. Right before I took my break from BBS, I have been interviewing somebody who has written a few books, and she wrote about soulmates and twin flames. And at first, I thought to myself, oh my God, that's off the wall, you know? And then I sat back and I thought to myself, wait a minute, who am I really to say that that's not her experience? And then I decided to make myself wrong, of course, because once I thought she might be right, of course, I have to be wrong. And then I stopped and I thought, wait a minute, why am I wrong? I don't have to be wrong either. Who does know this? And then it took me all the way back when I was about 10, 11 years ago, I had a friend write me. And she wrote that she was going to go to a lecture with someone who's very well known and very wise and very deep. And this person was giving a lecture on relationships, soulmates, and how to find one, how to keep one. And I said, well, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And this particular friend had been single for all of her adult life. And I'm not saying she was 90, but she was, you know, kind of nearing middle age. And as I was actually when I ended up getting married. And then I realized that the person she was going to see, although super wise, and I would go see this person in a second, had also been known for being a lifelong single person. And I sat back and I thought to myself, wait a minute, why do we do that? Not that we can't learn from people who don't have the experience that they're talking about, but why do we go to get information on something we dearly want to know from people who aren't embodying it? I mean, isn't that a little strange that we assume that even though they don't have this or it never had this, they know and we don't? I just thought that was strange. And about 3 weeks ago, I get emails from people that I admire. You know, everyone has a contact list except for me. I'm the only one who doesn't do that. And I hadn't heard from this person in her contact list for a while. And this person had been going through some difficult times and came back and said, while I was going through this difficult time, I met my soulmate and I wasn't looking for that person, which we all hear, you know, when you're not looking, there they come. And then they said the magic word for me, and it was this. Well, it was the magic sentence. The magic sentence was that I found this person, they are my soulmate, and we have been together for a year now. And the year was emphasized with plenty of little explanation points. I am not by any means putting down anybody's time with anybody, and especially because of all people, I know soulmate relationships with people that I knew for 2 months, and I don't care what anybody says. You know those kind of relationships that you've had for maybe a year, 8 months and they end, but to you, they were like your entire life, or instead of 8 months, it was 8 years. So I get it, and I know what that person meant. When it hit me, though, on paper, I thought to myself, oh, the most important point was they were going to send out, you know, more newsletters on how they did it and what it takes to make that work. And again, that's when I thought to myself, whoa, can you give it a little more time, please? That's just, you know, how I felt. And I also wanted to go back at the time when that friend had written me about that about 10 or 11 years ago. I had been married at that time for about 10 or 11 years. And I thought to myself then immediately, oh, wow, well, I certainly don't know any better. And then my second thought was, why? Why not? Why not? It's been 11 years. Don't you think you know something? Aside from that, before I married, I had a whole grown-up life. I lived a whole romantic life. I lived for love. So I didn't just have that or knowing what makes a relationship endure. I also had the major soulmate, twin flame, whatever you want to call it, loves of my life that you have as a whole person. And then when this just happened with this person and that email blast that they sent out, I said to myself, huh, you know what? I've now been married 20 years, together for 24 years. Some people might say that, I don't want your marriage. I don't like your marriage. I really, it's not for me. And I'd say, I hear you. You know, I understand. And I do. But there's something that has to be said for what love is and what love isn't. And that's what I want to talk about. So before I say anything else, I want to say that what I want to do and what this was supposed to be and will be is a 3-part series on soulmates, who says what, a million quotes from people, the origin of it, and then I would like to do a show, and if I can get it all in, I will, on all of the archangels that we know and how they can assist you and how you can use them, utilize is a better word, how you can utilize them in getting your soulmate or drawing them to you. So that's what I really want to do here with us, and it's going to be interesting. Oh, and really what this is this is an introductory kind of course, I want to say, to an angel kind of certification course that, of course, I can't do on the radio. But I just wanted to start it off here. Why? Because BBS really is the best. And I say that in all sincerity. They are the kindest, most genuine two producer owners I've known. So let's get started. The first thing I wanted to say was that at first I thought all these things were happening about soulmates around me because I thought it was just happening. It was happening in my clients. It was happening with people. And then it hit me so strong just recently that it happened because for the last 2 years, I have been trying to come to terms with the loss of two of my genuine soulmates. One is my sister. I know I've mentioned her, who died 13 years ago, and not the loss, but the emotional letting go of my love, the love of my life, my child who is in college in his first year. And that's been very difficult for me because I think of the losses that I've had in my life, and there have been many. So I realize now that I was drawing those experiences to me. So let me move on and just say something to you. Someone wrote me a little while ago, and they wanted to know if so-and-so was their twin flame or just their soulmate. And were they going to be rich? And what did they look like? And I just sat there looking, and I thought to myself, is this how blasé we've come to thinking about this? Most of the people I know are just beginning to realize self-love, never mind that kind of love. So can we just throw those labels away for now and start to concentrate on what love is? Love is adding to both of our lives. That's what love is. It adds to your life, my life. And I woke up that night out of a sound sleep knowing that love, whatever you call it, would much rather see someone happy. It doesn't matter who, what, when, where. If something or someone else is right for them, sometimes love is letting them do what's right for them. This isn't about being a martyr or you or them. It's just taking the opportunity to open up to all the channels to love that we have. We, as a collective consciousness, will stay back in the Victorian age if we don't take that opportunity, never knowing the future generations that love produced or the changes in our DNA. Let them go. Send them your unconditional love as they pursue the dragon walls of flame and time. And our reward is knowing that we help facilitate several generations of the myth on real love. So we're going to start, and I want to start with some quotes. Some of them are going to sound to be just completely contradictory. And that's the whole nature of this. And that's true. Here we go. I am going to just give you a few of them, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the origin. Of course, you can do the same thing, look it up on your browser, but why do you have to? I'm here for that. So I'm going to give you a couple of quotes, and then I'm going to go into, I'll tell you who wrote them also, of course. Let's see. We have so many of them. That is amazing. What greater thing is there for two human souls than to feel that they are joined together, to strengthen each other, to be at one with each other in silent, unspeakable memories? George Eliot. Let's see. When you're in love. Oops, do I? Hold on. Yes. Oh, if I know what love is, it's because of you. Hermann Hesse. Here we go. Maybe our girlfriends are our soulmates and guys are just people to have fun with. Candace Bushnell. We all kind of heard that from Sex and the City. So we're getting a whole bunch here. How about this? Soulmate is an overused term, but a true soul connection is very rare and very real. Would you believe Hilary Duff? There is no such thing as a soulmate, and who would want there to be? I don't want half of a shared soul. I want my own damn soul. Rachel Cohn. Soulmates are muses, the people in your life you despise, disrespect, and desire the most. Coco Ginger. Isn't that strange? And actually, there's a lot about that that's, I believe, true. Giving someone a piece of your soul is better than giving a piece of your heart, because souls are eternal. Helen Boswell. That's really beautiful. I want to just give you a few more, and then I want to go into the origins and what people believe. When love is a pattern, it falls apart at the seams. When love is an expression of wonder, it can't be duplicated. Just as our earth orbits the sun, moon and earth create the tide. Like Maxwell's equations, we attract our soul's true love, and at this breath, we invite transformation, and what we see must follow magnetically. And that's what I want to start with here. We are learning self-love. Our soulmate is most likely going to be the person that is magnetically on the same vibration that we are. No, it doesn't mean that there are twins. I remember being young and thinking that my soulmate and my twin flame, and by the way, I do remember thinking of twin flames, twin souls, and soulmates going pretty far back, but I was just reading up, and no, it really didn't come back into our lexicon until the late 70s and early 80s. And people credit a few people, like a couple of writers like Richard Bachford, for bringing that in, and a couple of movies that I won't go into right here for bringing it to our consciousness again. But it was kind of dormant for a long, long time. And I also want to talk about, I have a couple of people who are the Bible, my metaphysical Bibles. And I know where I got a lot of my base from. But that is not what made me take my theory from at all. As I said, I am a very whole person, and I've been married for a long time. And before that, I was a pretty old person and had so many, many relationships. And I also believe that soulmates are certainly not confined to romantic love at all. So it's what you feel. It's not what I feel. It's not what they feel. It's not anything like that. So soulmate relationships don't come with guarantees. We do agree to play out roles before we get here. I do believe that. In the in-between lives, I believe that we have friends that we don't necessarily even have on Earth. And I know that sounds crazy, but I believe that. I believe that we have soulmates that might not incarnate with us. Oh, and I definitely want to get to soul groups too at some point. But so we have, you know, certain relationships that we agree to, like when we come here, but once we get here, we do have free will, and anything can happen. And the only thing that I believe that's destined is that the universe will conspire to have us meet. No question that when it's that strong, we will meet. What we do when we meet is up to us. That being said, and this is really heavy, we can be living out all of the alternate lives at the same time. There was someone that I absolutely loved in college. Even though I insisted I was going to marry every single person I had ever been with, literally, I'm not kidding. And I had a lot. I, looking back, realized that one, two, three, four, maybe, were really, really people that I consider to be just true, true loves of my life. And he was one of them. And I had broken up with him. And then 10 months later, I broke up with the person I replaced him with. I was really too much then. And went back with him. And he hurt me. You know the story. So I never really got over this person. And I don't know why I'm laughing. So I just carried this person around with me for 20 years. Carried him around. Felt that he was the one person I was supposed to have married. Supposed to. And I knew better. I know that when something's right in front of you and you're living it, that's what you're supposed to be doing. End of story. But I couldn't convince my heart of that. You know what convinced me? It was so simple. It was contacting this person. I finally contacted them in a very safe, very kind way where we were not even speaking on a phone. It was just over a computer. And I just said, I have to tell you how I felt. And I got it all out there. And then this person told me all about what he had been through. And as he told me, and as we communicated, I felt it all dissolve, every bit of it. Not that I didn't love him, not that I hadn't loved him, quite the opposite. I realized that I had loved him, but I had loved the me I was then. And that is something that I don't think we allow for, we think about. Sometimes we hold on to someone thinking it's them, but it is often who we were then and who we were when we were with them. And as I spoke to him, I realized from the things that he said that had we been together, it would have been disastrous. Not for any other reason other than we both had very similar issues that were separately bad enough. Together, we would have drowned. And that was it. From that moment on, I was free. I honor him. I love him. But that kind of angst is gone. It doesn't rule me. It's not what if any longer. And that is really some of the things I do want to talk about. So let me just go and tell you some of the theories, where it comes from. And, oh, by the way, just as I was saying, before you find your soulmate, you must first discover your soul. Charles Glassman. And that's true. That's almost about what I was saying. It takes a long time. Maybe not everybody. We have to remember, we are not all here living the same life. We're not all here on the same wavelength, and we're not all here meant to meet all those people. There are some lives that we're going to have that are not going to have 17 soulmates. They might have one. You might choose a life where you are essentially a loner and you're working on something scientific and you need all the energy your soul has to create what you need to create for humanity. And you are going to choose to not be hampered down by the kind of romantic love that you've had in other lives. So you choose to have a companion that is a comfortable fit for you. I believe that that could be your soulmate, or it could be someone in your soul group that you have incarnated with over and over again. I also believe that, and you have to just try to be open to this kind of stuff. I do believe my sister is my soulmate. And it's kind of creepy to think this, but that doesn't mean that my sister couldn't have been a male or a female and I was a man or anything in another life. We could have been romantic partners. Somebody's feathers, so I don't know, if you're super religious, you might want to like hide your ears or something. Hide your ears. I say things that are so strange. You might want to cover your ears, but personally, I don't see how you can avoid it. If we're here on the wheel of life and incarnation, and we're here to learn all the forms of love, to me, that includes being, you know, same sex, transgender, you name it, because I think we're here to learn about all of love, all of it in all forms. And I personally think that you're going to experience it all in some life or another. You can't escape it. So better get used to opening up your mind now. And frankly, I don't see, well, okay, I'll calm down. I just don't see why that's so difficult for people to get. But I don't know. I don't know. I was never really that of the norm anyway. So let me go back and start to talk about where it started. It started with Plato. No, wait. Okay, I'm going to go further back, I think. No, I'm not, because the Plato weren't the Greek also starting out at the same time? I better not. I'm so bad with stuff like that. Maybe somebody knows, but I'll tell you what I found. Oh, before I do, a soulmate is an ongoing connection with another individual that the soul picks up again in various times and places over lifetimes. We are attracted to another person at a soul level, not because that person is our unique complement, but because by being with that individual, we are somehow provided with an impetus to become whole ourselves. Edgar Cayce. And again, I really do feel that that is something that I was trying to express when I said that I loved who I was at that time. And I think at that time in my life, I was the closest to being my full expression, or I thought at the time that I was. So now let's go all the way back. And we will go, and I think it was with Plato, and he started by going into, I was going to say Greek mythology, but I think they are Greek mythology, right? Listen, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, you can please feel free to call in 888-627-6008. Don is standing by, and he'll be very kind to you. And while I say that, I'm also saying if you have any question about soulmates or your reading, well, silly calling in, especially when I'm speaking like this. So if anybody should feel silly, it's me. So call in if you would like to. Call in if you know what on earth I'm talking about. And when it comes to, you know, Greek mythology and the Bible and stuff like that. And I'm really staying away from the Bible. I'm not going there. So anyway, I'll tell you what I remember. So it was Greek mythology, and I think Plato said that Zeus, yeah, okay, humans had become too prideful, and so Zeus split them in half because, oh, humans were male and female, and they were both, and they had both complete sets of genitalia, and they were very happy. But we came to Earth, and we started playing around. I don't know why that's bad, but it was. I think it was really that we were lacking in humility. So he split us. And when he split us, we were forever looking for our soulmate. And that is, I guess, in a nutshell, no pun intended, how it all came to be. Okay? All right. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of my personal Bible person. And when I say Bible, it's a little different. I'm going to read you a little bit about what Seth thinks. Seth is the entity that Jane Roberts, who is no longer with us, channeled. And I feel like praying if I even say that. Seth from Jane's book, The Eternal Validity of the Soul, says, in this time of choosing between life state, all of these matters are considered. And he's talking about, the souls and soulmates. And suitable preparations are made. The planning itself is all part of experience and development. The in-between existence is also every bit as important as the period that is chosen. You learn to plan your existence. In other words, you also make friends and acquaintances in these rest periods with whom you will meet again and again, and only perhaps during in-between existences. And with them, you may discuss your experience during reincarnational cycles. And these are old friends of the soul. And here we go. Is he agree that you may be born into your present family for many reasons? You may find after death a much stronger relationship emotionally with a personality from a past life. And if you're married, for example, and have no true rapport with your mate, you may instead find a past wife or husband waiting for you. Oftentimes, members of various groups, and he's talking about groups here, will in another life form family relationships in which they will then work out old problems in new ways. Both agreements and disagreements about sex is not an issue in heaven. You have moved beyond that dimension in heaven, and it is not important. It is not even, after a period of disconnect from Earth, a part of the thought process of love. It's shared in many other ways. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. All that matters is that we know in our hearts that we have an intense connection with a like-minded individual. What could be more beautiful? And that's exactly what I really believe. And I did not read this recently. I read this 35 years ago, and I really don't even believe that, of course it helped to form me, but I was young and I formed my own thoughts. One of the other people that has been a great influence, and their books were very recent, well, pretty recent, is Dr. Michael Newton, Destiny of Souls and Journey of Souls. And I'm going to read you some of the things he says about soulmates. And then I'm going to tell you something that I want to say to you. Anything I say, anything anybody says to you, this is my motto. You take what you need and you leave the rest. No one knows. No one. You know who knows? You know. You know. I don't care if you had a pet spider and you loved that pet spider with all of your heart. That pet spider was your soulmate. I know I'm being ridiculous. So I will tell you this. I knew someone who once told me that they had had a girlfriend in sixth grade and that they had loved this girlfriend more than anybody ever in their entire lives. And the person telling me this was around 40 years old. And they said that not ever had they ever had or experienced any love like that again. They did get married. They got divorced. They had some more relationships. They didn't get married again. But that sixth grade girlfriend was it. Would you say that's ridiculous? That can't be your soulmate. That's ridiculous. No. How could you? Love is love. That was their soulmate. Who knows who that person really was? You know what they say the difference between, and I want to, I'm all over the place. I can't stay on one topic. I'm just like blah, blah, blah. So what they say is the major difference between a soulmate and a twin flame is that, and again, this is they, who, I don't know, a soulmate is someone who is someone we come in and reincarnate with time after time, and they are someone that we deeply connect with and learn from. And even if we happen to miss a life here and there with them, we will pick up with them as soon as we go back up there. A lot of people say a twin flame, and this is what made me want to do this. I have always believed a twin flame is someone who we are, I don't know how we got there, you know, with a twin flame, but twin flames are, how do I do this? Okay. A twin flame is another slice of us. We bump into them and we have this amazing connection. It's intense. It's strong. There's telepathic sensitive stuff going on between us. It's an uncanny ability to understand each other. But twin flame relationships are usually here to cross paths at a certain time. And we act as catalysts for each other to provide a great awakening. And they're kind of like signposts. And when we see each other, we're like, oh, yes. Okay, I'm supposed to be going here. And the bond is amazingly strong. And for good or for bad, we provide, well, no, it's always for good. It just doesn't feel that way sometimes. But we provide this growth and this challenge and a learning lesson for both of us. Why? Because the whole point of dividing up this whole soul is to cover more ground and is to spread out and experience everything. So getting together and living a life together is usually counterproductive to the purpose. So let me explain that again. A soulmate is another soul who is here to help us grow, to love, to all of those things. A twin flame, I don't know what Plato was talking about. Let's face it. You know, obviously I don't. But, and there are other things that I didn't go into about where it came from and how it got back into our, you know, daily lives of a soulmate and biblical stuff and religion and Beshert and all that kind of stuff. Did I say Beshert right? I don't know. So I'm not going to go into that, but a twin flame, and this again is how I grew up knowing about it, is really what I always knew, that when our soul was puffed into the reality, and I think of it as this breath, this puff of God breath, puff into the air, we came out as male and female. I really do believe this, or something like that. I don't really think it's so divided, but I do believe that we came out with more than just who we are today. And we kind of say to ourselves, okay, self, let's split. You go here and I'll go here. And we're going to meet up in each lifetime. And you and I are going to have this intense thing. And you're going to let me know what's going on with you. I'm going to tell you what's going on with me. And then I guess we'll see what we do, you know? And that's it. I really think that that's what we're here to do. Often, I really think that a twin flame, twin soulmate has a little bit of maybe sometimes too much challenge for us to live comfortably with them. So that's my understanding of a twin flame or soulmate. And that makes complete sense to me, not because it sounds good, but because I've lived it and I felt it. And I really believe that in my life, I know of one. I can say I know of one twin flame, I'm pretty sure. And they are a catalyst. And then I think you're supposed to just say, okay, thanks, bye. It's too uncomfortable, I think, otherwise. There are people that don't believe that at all. There are people that feel a twin flame is flame and fire and sex and you name it. You know, I don't know. Go for it. That's fantastic. In fact, the person that I had talked about, who I had interviewed before I went on my break, does feel that way. And I am definitely having this person on because I want you to get as much information as you can about what it is, what it isn't. What have you experienced? In fact, I want you to stop being so quiet and call me and tell me what you've experienced, or call me and ask. And ask, is so-and-so my soulmate? And you know what? While I could probably tell you about your karma together, definitely, who's going to tell you if that's your soulmate? You. You. It's who's comfortable for you. So I am going to take a short little break, and I'm going to give out our phone number again in case anybody does want to call. And it is 888-627-6008. You are listening to Growing Up Indigo with Adina Banik at the BBS radio station, where if it isn't mainstream, it's on BBS. No, yes, that's right. I think I said it right. Did I, sir? I don't know. But we are going to take a break. And he said yes. And we'll be right back.
BBSradio.com. If it's not mainstream, information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSradio.com.
Hi, everybody. You're back with Adina in Growing Up Indigo on BBS Radio Station. Now, somebody just said twin flame relationships are usually mislabeled and are really just highly charged, intense soulmates. So there is that kind of thought out there. I just don't really, wait, yeah. And then here's what I did used to believe. I completely forgot all about it. So this is what I used to think. I used to believe, and you know what? This might be true. I used to believe that twin soulmates and I, we would go our separate ways throughout all our reincarnational lives. And then on our last life together, we would come together and then be romantic partners and go out in a blaze of fire. And that's what I felt. And that's what I really thought. And you know what? I could be right. And that person could be right. That person who just said that twin flames are mislabeled and are just highly charged, intense soulmates. Hey, how do I know? You know what I do know? I do know, and there are so many of these that I have to read you. Oh, let me just finish up Journey of Souls. Okay, so let's see what they say. Soulmates are designated companions, and they help us accomplish mutual goals, which can be best achieved by supporting each other in various situations. In terms of friends and lovers, identity recognition of kindred souls comes from our highest consciousness. It's a wonderful and mysterious experience, both physically and mentally. Mixed into both lives where we have had a long and happy life with a soulmate and those lives where we have destroyed the relationship or been devastated by the actions of soulmates towards us is still wrapped in the tests and the package of love. Now I have so much more I could talk about and go on and on about what he says, but I want to quickly tell you what I got from him. He was not going out to find out what soulmates were or anything like this. He's a psychiatrist who was trying to heal people by going back into their immediate past, all the way back into when they were young, and trying to heal them of phobias and things like that. What happened was he was taking them so far back that they were dying. No, not really, but they were dying, and then they were going into the in-between stage. So in other words, he would take them back to birth, and then all of a sudden, they would say, I'm leaving my body. And he was like, what? And they'd say, yeah, I am in my past life. I'm dying and I'm going up and I'm here. And then they would all start to describe this in-between planning stage of lives. And so I thought it was like 800 people he had done this with. Of course, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? I don't think he could do that. So he did do it with about 70-something people. That is what I remember. And for most of it, and it was not all about soulmates at all, but most of that in-between planning stage, I know and resonate with due to my own near-death experiences and from other major time-stopping, warping experiences that I've had very spontaneous. I can't say what. I have these words that I can't say, like variety. I used to say varity. Anyway, through experiences that have come on quickly. How about that? So they all made sense to me and it all resonated, except for one thing. In every single, you know, kind of like person and experience, they all had their soulmate. They were all with their soulmate in every life. They were all with their soulmate. Now, I don't know about you. I really don't. But I will say this. I, as I said, have been around, right? Well, that doesn't sound good either. But I'm an older person, and I've not only that, I've known a lot of people. And although I tend to be a hermit, I speak to and have spoken to thousands and thousands of people. They might know who their soulmate is. They might have been with their soulmate. They might know who they are, but either their soulmate left or is otherwise engaged, or they lost their soulmate, or but I know very few people who have met their soulmate and have stayed with their soulmate throughout a lifetime. I'm sorry. And I also find it strange that he picked 78 people who just happened to be with their soulmate, you know, in every life. In every life, came back with the same soulmate. Every life. Now, I don't know about you again, but I'm sorry. How many people do we know in one lifetime? How many people have you felt this incredible pull and felt so comfortable that you can't even express it? You don't have to say a word. You don't have to do anything. There've been, come on, it's more than one. How many times have you been married? How many times have you been engaged? How many times did you just not marry that person? I can't buy this one soulmate thing. I just can't. And part of what this book was about was really he didn't go into, or they didn't go into, all of the other people that made up a life. It was very simple. It was your soul group, and your soul group consisted of, you know, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your wife, your husband, and going through each life with them. I don't know. I don't know. Either I've had way more than I should have. Well, Elizabeth Taylor certainly did. Come on. I mean, this somebody's having too much, too little, and in between, we're missing out. So that's one of the things that I really couldn't buy. And again, I think that what he does say is a primary or principal soulmate is frequently in our life as a closely bonded partner. This partner may be our spouse, brother, or sister, a best friend, or occasionally a parent. Companion soulmates. Our primary soulmate is our eternal partner, but we have other souls in our primary cluster group who can be called soulmates. Essentially, they are our soul companions, affiliated souls there are certain affiliated souls and other groups who are selected to work with us when we come to know over many lives, while others might only cross our path briefly. Quite often, our parents come from one of these nearby cluster groups. Not buying it. I don't know why. Our primary soulmate is our eternal partner. Eternal partner? I don't know who that is. Do you? And that's how I'm going to leave this. Do you know who your eternal partner is? I'm telling you right now, I could think of five of them. So when we come back, not next Thursday, but the Thursday after, I want to continue this topic. And then on our third Thursday, I am going to go through all the archangels and go through how they can all help us to assist in bringing us our soulmate, our twin flame. And that one, we better be careful about, because we're going to get quick help with that one. So you can write and you can call in and write me at askadina@gmail.com. And if you have questions, I'll answer them. And have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I love you. And BBS is the best. Bye-bye.